and how they work in our lives and how God uses them, that he gives all of us gifts, that all of us have very specific gifts. And the neat thing is about spiritual gifts is that you can work in any of the spiritual gifts at any time, because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, which he does, if you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. So therefore, all the gifts are available to you, but you will find that there are specific gifts that you naturally function in. And we want to encourage people to work in their gifts, walk in their gifts, to people doing the things he's gifted them to do. And so we really want to challenge you to learn what your gift is and walk in it. And today we're going to start on what I call the demonstration gifts, that are gifts that are much more demonstrative in the power of God. Now, these gifts are open to everyone, but not everyone has all the gifts. So therefore, you need to realize that there are no gifts that are more important than another. What is the most important gift, by the way? Your gift. Whatever your gift is the most important gift. Walk in it. Use it. Be all that you can be. Well, we're going to start today with the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. They are similar gifts, but they have a little difference to each one of them. And these are demonstrative gifts in that both of these gifts are spoken gifts. And that when given wisdom and knowledge, you don't just keep it to yourself. You speak it. Now, the neat thing about wisdom and knowledge, both of them, you will find that people who have these gifts tend to like to study the Word. They tend to like to research. They tend to like to look. They tend to want to spend time in the Word because there's knowledge they are seeking. So they're knowledge seekers. They tend to tie to, you'll find teachers with one of both of those gifts. Pastors oftentimes have those gifts because they're looking for knowledge to be able to help people along in their lives. But a definition, we'll talk about wisdom first, and both of these two are very close together. But an utterance or message of wisdom supernaturally granted to an individual. For Paul, wisdom refers to the knowledge of the great Christian mysteries, the incarnation, passion, resurrection of Christ, and the indwelling in the believer of the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 7 and 13, it says this, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began." And then in verse 13 it says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities and spirit-taught words." You see, the amazing thing about the early church is it was a God-driven church. They didn't have anything else. There was just God. Which we might want to go back to that a little bit. I think sometimes we get distracted in all the things that we need. But if God did not speak, they had nothing to bring. They had nothing to give. If God didn't show up, they had nothing. And so Paul was even saying, "Here, I mean, the stuff we're teaching you came downloaded from God, and I'm passing it on to you." Now, the interesting thing about wisdom is that I believe wisdom is the application portion of this gift. That wisdom has the ability to take a word or a message out of the Scriptures or maybe something God impresses upon you and apply it to someone's life. It is an application-oriented gift where a person hears a word or studies the word, someone comes to them, and they're able to take that word or take that message and apply it specifically into someone else's life or maybe even into the life of the church body, or something of that nature. That is the gift of wisdom, is to take the Word of God, which can be the Scripture, the Bible, or can be God speaking to you and applying it to the lives of those around them. That is wisdom. But know that the spiritual gift of wisdom is based on the Spirit of God. It is not based on the abilities of man. It's not based on your IQ level. It is not based on your speaking ability. It is based on God himself. And that's it. in Ephesians 1, it says this, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may," what? "Know him better." You know, that really is the crux of the gift of wisdom, is the goal is to, for you to know Christ better. You know, one of the things we do here, one of the things that, it's one of my gifts, one of the things I try to do is to reveal Christ to you in a way that you can know him better, that you can relate to him better, that he can reveal himself to you in deeper ways. Now, the second gift that we want to talk about, and both of these are very similar, is the gift of knowledge. And knowledge is referred to, once again, the understanding of the great, deep words of Christ, the explanation of deep theology that comes from the Bible. It can also come from the Lord. Either way, but it's has to, you will find that educators, people with the educator mind, will have wisdom and knowledge together, because they love to study, they love to understand. And in Colossians 2, it says this, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So what's Paul saying here? There's an understanding, there's knowledge that only God can give you. There is understanding that only God can open up to you. I mean, you can read the Bible, but God has to open it to you. There have been guys I've known along the way, heard stories about guys, "Oh yeah, I read the Bible, did all this, da-da-da-da-da." And finally one day I was in a moment of crisis, I broke down, cried out to God, and I opened the Bible, it's like I was reading a brand new book. Because God opened it to their mind so that they could understand. See, because just knowledge of the Scripture is not saving faith. Let me say that one more time. I don't think y'all got it. Knowledge of the Scripture is not saving faith. Because guess what? Satan knows the Scriptures. The demons know the Scriptures. They know Christ. But that is not saving faith. So there's a different. You can't just dwell and think, "Well, I've got all this knowledge." No, there has to be that God revelation. There has to be that Spirit incarnation of the knowledge that's in us. And that's what I think Paul's talking about. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11:16, Paul 11:6, Paul says, I may indeed be untrained as a speaker. Interesting. Probably the man who progressed the church outside of Jerusalem more than anybody else. Did you hear what he said? "I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way." And we know that Paul said, where does his knowledge come from? From God. It wasn't from his training, because we know that Paul was trained to become a rabbi. He didn't claim that that was where his knowledge came from. Paul claimed that his knowledge came from God, that when he encountered God, that he went off into the desert to learn from the Lord. So that is what we have to understand about knowledge, is that it's not just being able to quote Scripture, but it's that Spirit-driven knowledge that takes the Word of God and brings it to life, that brings it alive inside of me, that makes it more than just words on the page, and being able to transmit that to other people. Now, also in the gift of knowledge, you kind of experienced today, Doug asked for what is called a word of knowledge. That means God saying something. And I think it's very interesting that Doug asked for that, and then Donna had something. That's kind of interesting. But that's really how that works. And oftentimes you'll find that with whatever your name might be at the moment, Brooke, that would be your name. Yes, yes. Brooke got a word about a scripture that was later for her two or three, four months later, it was in use in her life. See, that's God giving you a word of knowledge about something to be used in ministry. And that's the amazing thing about spiritual gifts is they are all to be used to further the kingdom, to draw people into the kingdom, to let people see God in new ways. And so a word of knowledge is just that ability where God speaks to you and you hear a word and you share it with a person for the glory of God and to encourage them, build them up, to guide them if they need guidance. And I've experienced that in my life where people have told me things or where God has given me something for someone. And in fact, I was driving Ben crazy. In fact, I drive Ben crazy all the time. But we were praying together, and Ben Polsu, I know he's a prayer warrior. He just likes to hide it from everybody, and that's not a good thing to hide your gifting from me because then I like throw you to the wolves. And yesterday we were praying and we were praying for someone, and I looked at Ben and I said, "Ben, aren't you supposed to pray?" And he looked at me like, "What are you doing?" But he had something that he needed to share. He was just not in the place where he was ready to share it. He needed some encouragement from his loving pastor who cares for him deeply. And I took him and threw him to the wolves. But that's that knowledge, that ability, that it's God-given, that in a specific moment, God is able to bring light to something or bring a word to you that you share. Now, the really difficult thing about wisdom and knowledge is you have to have about this much guts because you can be wrong. You can be. But you know what? I have found that the best way to grow in your spiritual gift is just to risk and try it. Because the first couple of times I ever felt like I needed to tell somebody something, you know, I had the 20 questions for God. Okay, God, is this me or is it you? Okay, well, if it's you, is it for this very moment? Is it for 5 minutes from now? Is it for 7 minutes from now? 10 minutes from now? 30 minutes from now? 5 years from now? And I'm going through the discussions. God's like going, "Really? Really?" And then I had 20 more questions for him, you know, and he was like going, "Would you just say what I want you to say? That would be very nice of you to do what I'm telling you to do." So I have learned through my experiences, when I feel impressed to say something, I just say it. And I may be wrong. But being wrong doesn't mean I'm wrong about everything. This means I was wrong in that moment. And so therefore, as a church, we want to give people grace. If they say something to us and it doesn't apply, just go, "Well, okay." But we need to allow for people to walk in wisdom and knowledge. And I bet you most people in here have had an experience where you knew you needed to say something to someone. I find that through most of Christianity, most of us have a moment where we're in a moment with somebody and we just know we need to say something. Or we need to pick up the phone and call somebody. That is wisdom and knowledge. That God-given gift of ministry that touches lives and furthers the kingdom. And I know that's a weird gift. It's an interesting gift. It's a demonstrational gift. But I do believe it is still among us because I see people's lives changed by it all the time. And I took way too much time on those two, so I'm going to move on a little bit faster. Another gift that we're dealing with, which is a demonstrational gift, is called faith. And faith is very interesting in that most people don't know what faith is. What is faith? What does that mean? Well, here's a little definition. I don't know if I agree with it fully, but it's okay. This refers to that strong or special faith which removes mountains, casts out devils, and faces the most cruel martyrdom without flinching. It is distinguished from saving and normal Christian faith. Faith is the ability to stand. Acts 27:23-26. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong, this is Paul, he's out on the ship and it's in the storm, and he's talking to the people, whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God It will happen, just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Faith is this: knowing that God has promised you something, and no matter what the circumstances are, you believe it. That's faith. For example, Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, hey, let's go somewhere else. And Abraham went, okay. And he went. He believed. I believe Joseph, the coat of many colors guy, he was thrown in jail. God promised him he would be leader of his people. He promised him that his brothers would bow to him. And somehow, some way, he held on to that faith. There's a story, and I just lost her name. In fact, I know you know her. Dr. B. Keaton? She works in the Congo and works with the pygmies of the Congo. Is it B?
I think it is.
B. Keaton, Dr. B. Keaton. And I looked this up to make sure that it wasn't just a story, but it is actually, she claims it's a true story. I would believe her. But she actually went to the Congo, didn't know what the Congo was, and never heard of pygmies. But God spoke to her and said, you're the minister to the pygmies in the Congo. And she didn't know anything about them, but began a ministry, began to go to the Congo, and found out that the pygmies are really not considered people. They're more considered animals, and people actually hunt them. And they hunt them, shoot them, and eat them, like we would deer, because they're not really considered people. Well, she felt the Lord had called her to build these cities of refuge for the pygmies where they could take them, they could teach them English and math and train them, and teach them how to cook and grow things. And she built these three little cities of refuge for the pygmies. And they're close to the border region of the Congo. If you know anything about the Congo, there's a lot of unrest there and a lot of rebels and very difficult area. But she was going into the area, and she actually had to go a different route because the military wasn't letting them in because it was in rebellion. There were lots of rebels there, and the Lord just kept impressing upon her, you need to go, you need to get there, I'll make a way, just go. And so she finally ultimately got to the village, and she gets there and has food and healthcare and other things for them, and she's serving, taking care of these people, and these bands of rebels show up. And the pygmies and the crowds are all trying to get her away, and in her heart, God's saying, would you just stand? Just stand. Just stand. I just want you to stand. And so she stopped, and she said, I have to stay here. It's God's telling me to stay, so I got to stand. And so she walked out in front of the crowd and just stood. And the rebels, were armed and walked up and said, look, you got to go because we're fixing to kill all these people and you need to go. And she said, no. And so they went, okay. And they fired their weapons at her. And her account is the bullets actually fell in the ground right in front of her. And the rebels, realizing that their guns weren't working, decided they didn't want to stay any longer and turned around and left. That's faith. That when God has told you something, you just believe. And there's nothing that will shake you. And the thing is, the body of Christ needs you desperately. Because it is so easy for us to be driven and tossed by the wind. It's so easy for us to hear the call of God, and then because we step into a situation that becomes difficult, we start looking for some kind of answer. We start trying to solve the problem, and God's just standing there going, would you just stand? Would you just stand? And people of faith can do that. People of faith have the ability to, in any given moment, no matter what faces them, they say, oh, God told me to stand. We're going to stand. But the tanks are coming. I know, but God said to stand. But the tanks are getting closer. No, God said to stand. But they're really getting closer and they're not stopping. But God said to stand. We're just going to stand. And let me tell you something. People of faith are scary to be around. But our body needs that. We need people who just trust, who just say, I just know God told me this, and I'm going to stand. And I can tell you story after story after story after story of how people have been told to do something and they did what God told them to do and miraculous things happened. Those are people of faith. And we need that gift amongst us. Because so many of us oftentimes get driven and tossed by the wind. Because instead of keeping our eyes on Christ, we look to the circumstance when God's word is enough to sustain us. The gift of faith. That's a gift that we probably really need to seek out. I would encourage you to seek that one out. The gifts of healing. Ability to supernaturally minister, healing others. The plural indicates the variety of sicknesses healed in many other forms the gift takes. Working of miracles, the performance of deeds beyond ordinary human ability by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 14, 8 through 10, in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith. Important word there. He had faith to be healed and called out, "Stand up on your feet." And that man jumped up and began to walk. Now, I have a weird view of healing in that I believe doctors have the gift of healing. I believe that's their gifting. And so they are working in the area of their gifting. But there are also those people who have the ability to lay hands on people and things get better. I don't understand it, but Will, are you around here anywhere? Will is kind of, he's one of those weirdos. And Tom is one of those weirdos. Will's really interesting in that Will will start producing oil in his hands. It's like, it's really cool. If you ever get to watch Will, he'll start doing stuff like this. If you ever see Will start kind of doing this and wiping his hands, go hang around him. It's really cool. But Will and Tom have prayed for people and watched them get well. And it's a gift of God. It's not for their ego. It's not, woo, they're giants. No. They have a gift from God. God has opened a door for them to do ministry, to further the kingdom. And so God allows them to pray for people and they can be healed. Now, the amazing thing is that you can pray for people and they can be healed. You can. If you just obey God, do what God tells you to do, and pray for them, God can heal through you. But there are those who that gift seems to hang around a lot. And I like that both Tom and Will both are, you would not know that about them. They're just people and they just try to obey what God tells them to do. And it's not anything that they're going to raise money. Hey, come give me $100 and I'll pray for you to be healed. That's not what's going on here. They just obey God and follow what is. I believe that healing is still active today. I do. I believe that God uses lots of ways to heal people and does mighty deeds. And so please know healing is still active today in my books. Another one is discerning of spirits, the capacity to discern and distinguish or discriminate the source of a spiritual manifestation, whether it emanates from a good or evil spirit. It seemed to have been particularly associated with prophecy, as it would be necessary to know whether a prophetic utterance was truly inspired by God. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, John says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." So see, all of us need to be able to discern. We always need to test the spirits, but there are those among us who have the ability to just see things and they experience things. I have some of that ability. I don't have a lot of it, especially because I'm tied to mercy. Mercy is one of my real strong gifts. So therefore, because I'm so much mercy, when a guy tells me a sad story, I believe him. And it's not good. That's why Daryl takes care of our benevolence, not me. And so, but there are times where I know when I'm in a place and there are evil things there. I know that. I know oftentimes when people are doing something spiritual, I can tell whether it's good or bad. There are just things that move in me and work in me that give me that awareness to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. Because there are many false prophets today. Many. And some of them live in Protestant churches. I don't accuse anyone of anything, but some of them do. And we need that ability. We need that ability. And if you have that ability, if you ever find someone who is a discerner, they're fun to be around because they see stuff. They really do. Discerners see stuff. And a friend of mine in seminary, I loved her to death. She was just a dear friend. She was a piano major. And we used to go to church together. And we went to this really high churchy kind of church. Very formal, high churchy. And all the music staff from my seminary sang there. So it was phenomenal music. And we were in there one day, and she was a discerner. God had given the gift of discernment, and she was always telling me weirdo, crazy things. But one day I was sitting there, and we were sitting, that day we were sitting next to each other, and for some reason I looked, and she's going, yeah. And I'm like, have you been smoking something? What is up with you? And she goes, there's angels here. And I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, they're hanging out up there. They're flying around doing the cool stuff. And I was like, you are insane. But she was a discerner. And she knew when the Spirit of God was moving in power and might. And it was just, and those are discerners. Those people, they have that ability to see good and evil. And it's an amazing thing. So we're out of time, but we're getting to one of the final gifts, and then we'll move on from there. But the thing I really want to challenge you about today as we're walking in the gifts. And I want you to, I'm going to remind you every time that the most important gift is your gift. There's not a hierarchy of gifts. There are gifts that take roles of leadership, but it does not mean that their gift is more important than yours. And you know what? You know what makes the church beautiful? You walking in your gift. That's what makes the church beautiful, because then we're becoming the kind of body that God wants us to be. See, that's why all the colors are hanging here for you. Because if it was just one color, if it was all the same, you probably wouldn't even notice the yarn. But with all the different colors, with everything that's going on, you notice it. And it's beautiful. And our little pole over here of your name and your gifting is a representation of the colors that are here in this body, and we need your colors working among us. And what we did last week, which I'm going to tell you a little secret, we did the tie-dye thing, you know the deal, y'all went and put colors on, you remember that? This is a secret. We had an issue with that. For some reason, the colors didn't take. It just happens sometimes. So instead of doing it again, our person is going to try to reproduce it as best as she can. But that representation, that tie-dyed cloth, is a representation of the beauty of CAPS, the beauty of your gifting here, and we need your gifting working here. We need every one of you. Nobody gets a pass. Even if you're retired, you don't get to retire from ministry. We're in ministry for all of our days. So, hear me. You're important. You're gifted. You have a destiny, and we need you here. So, therefore, walk in your gifting. And you may not fully understand your gifting. You may make mistakes periodically, but this is the place to make mistakes. Because the only person that's mean here is Daryl. He's the only mean one. And we're getting him under control, and it won't be a problem. So, love you, Daryl, just kidding you. But we want you to walk in your gifting. Figure out what your gifting is, and walk in it because we want to see you grow. Now today, if some of my prayer people, lovely prayer people would come up here, we want to have people pray for you. If you feel like you need some help in your gifting or you need the Lord to help reveal more of your gifting, they're here to pray with you. And how you doing?
Good.
You doing all right?
Awesome.
Okay. Got some stuff for me?
Yes, dude.
Okay, oh, good. Come see him. He's hilarious. You want him praying for you, I tell you. He prays for me all the time. I really feel for him because he has to take care of me. One of his spiritual gifts is service, and God tied him to me, and he has to take care of me. My wife really appreciates that because she's like exhausted. And so we want to give you an opportunity to come and be ministered to if you need it. Doug, can I get you to come do something for me? Thank you. Love you. And but we want to give you a minute just to respond. If you need prayer or you need someone to pray for you just for the development of your gifts, we're happy to do that for you. But let's stand together and we'll pray and we'll take a moment to allow God to work and we'll go from there. Father, we do just thank you that you have given us these gifts, Father, and that you desire us to use our gifts, that you don't want us to hide them, you want us to use them, and that you are working and speaking among us and you have great things for us. And so, Father, Lord, I just pray today that you would begin working in us. You'd begin stirring in us these gifts that you want to use, that CAPS could become the church that is beautiful in its community and that people know that love and life proceed forth from this place. So, Father, Lord, do what you desire to do. Use us for your glory and let us glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.